This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
It was a long winter hiatus, but now we are back. Yes, the drama was necessary because it was a very long winter hiatus. We had a huge cliffhanger, and now
literally,
we are back. Yes, so welcome to AfterBuzz TV, Arrow After Show. I'm Ali Kona Bradford, and of course I am joined by three amazing hosts who I will let introduce themselves.
Hi, Lex Michael.
Tari J. Miller.
And I'm Katie Cullen. Hi, all my buddies.
Now, first and foremost, we have a hashtag, #ABTVArrow.
Yes.
And that will be their job to keep in charge, so definitely tweet at us. They will keep you looped in on the conversation.
Tweet Totes. With that hashtag. We will ask your questions. We will bring up your remarks.
Totes.
Maybe. I'm just kidding.
Keep it air appropriate.
Right. Yes. Thank
it's
you.
It's just a string of profanities.
Well, someone's not happy to be here.
First, let's start the show with the introduction of the Brick Entourage. To me, okay, so we opened up with a big action.
That's a different
show. Oh, you're very right. We opened the show with this huge action scene, and part of me felt like I was in Fast and the Furious, starting Detective Lance, and then we see Roy on Oliver's motorcycle. And it's like, okay, they have to throw in the wound, you know, stab and twist a little bit harder when Felicity's like, Oliver's going to kill you. You took his motorcycle.
It's going to be hard for him to do.
Right.
She spends most of this episode in Egypt, let's be real.
Yeah, but I mean, can you blame her? Okay, if the person that you were in love with secretly, but not so secretly, went off to fight something, you know you're going to want to think that they're going to be okay.
Yeah. Considering that I've not actually been in that situation myself, I can't say how I'd react.
Your secret lover never fell off a cliff.
You assume I have a secret lover.
It's possible.
I'm very open.
Anyway, going back into the show. Sorry about that. Let's talk.
I'm not.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Brick and the introduction to him, and then I want to get into how everybody's dealing with Oliver's disappearance / to be death.
All right.
So, okay, we meet all these people.
Kind of death, maybe.
Oh, goodness. I'm getting adjustments. It's magic. Magic hands are just popping in. So, anyway.
Hi, Steve.
This is how it's done.
Steven.
Okay, so anyway, going into the show, we have all these criminals. Anton, who else was the other guy? Fisher, who's going up to court. Laurel thinks she's got him slammed. And these people are hardcore criminals.
Yeah.
You know, attempted murder, what, 41 accounts of murder?
And this guy shot a cop who is in the hospital and may
right.
not live.
Right. Which thus brings us to the point where Brick gives him the ultimatum. Here's the deal, okay? You know, either kill me or you get killed. What we don't realize is he's not killable. Is that what we've come to the conclusion?
A bullet reflects off his head later on. He's got something. I don't know if it's a steel plate like Cousin Eddie in Christmas Vacation or if he's a metahuman.
Well, so Brick first showed up in 2004 in Arrow Comics. He was created by Judd Winnick and Phil Hester. And in the comics, Brick is a metahuman. Big guy. He's got this reddish, stony skin. He looks a little bit like the Thing with a white ponytail.
Right.
And since they've established that metahumans exist in this universe, definitely possible, especially since, yeah, bullet right off his head.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was wondering about that, too, because obviously, Flash is a metahuman. However, they didn't really give him much in Arrow. He had his one moment, and then they gave him his own series.
Right.
You know, and obviously they toy back and forth between the two, but for the most part, they do keep the two worlds separate, so it's interesting that the Brick is going to be in several episodes.
Well, what I'm wondering is, as far as metahumans go, all of the ones that we've seen in the series are either Mirakuru thugs, except that's all taken care of,
right,
or created by the reactor explosion.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
In The Flash, how long has the Brick been active? How long has he been bulletproof? Was he created in Central City as part of this, or has he had a crime syndicate for ever and a day, essentially? Did he just gain these powers? Did he get them from somewhere else? I want the backstory. We're probably not going to get
it,
but
in 3 episodes? Probably not. Yeah. But we do know he wants to take over the Glades. And he had this whole...
The least economically viable part of the city.
You know,
it has one nightclub and a whole bunch of rubble.
Here's the thing. I mean, I don't know what his plans are, but we do know that he stole all this evidence just so he could have this handover, if you will, on all these thugs and criminals. The Glades is also a place that does produce a lot of these types of people, not to stereotype, but they say that it's already, you know, when Roy was back in the Glades, a lot of rough people around there. So maybe he's just trying to collect an even bigger army, starting with the Glades, taking over there and making a bigger population before he moves on to elsewhere.
That's true. I mean, if you wanted to have a crime syndicate, you'd basically create your network and then basically expand from there.
Yeah.
It's the best possible place to recruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he said, we're going to be rich. We're going to take over the Glades. Like, these things.
That's right. Not going to make you rich. Yes.
Again, it's a least economically plan. Viable part of the city. It's like, we're going to L.A. We're going to be rich. We're going to take over Koreatown.
It's a 5-year plan.
Sure. Okay. He seems like the kind of guy to have a 5-year plan.
A little bit.
5 weeks.
Well, okay, what do you guys think about the fact that as this is going on, Diggle wants to keep going forward, but doing this, quote-unquote, he kept on calling it this, right? And even though he finds out that Oliver is no longer of existence, he's still trying to go forth with everything. Do you think he's doing the right thing, or do you think he should take a break?
I think he can't stop. I think it's less of a, I have to do this, I have to carry on in his memory, I'm addicted, whatever personal thing, and more of a, the criminal underbelly of Starling City has restructured itself around the Arrow. Ever since he became a player, it's like having Batman in your city. You know, you could be a two-bit criminal and maybe you'll get lucky and he won't show up on the corner where you're mugging people tonight, but the specter of him is there.
Right.
And that's enough of a deterrent. So you either have the people who will be deterred by the fact that he exists at all, or you'll have the people who are ballsy slash crazy enough to go after him, to call him out. Now that he's gone, if he just disappears, if Arsenal goes, if all of his people just poof out of existence, it's a power vacuum. And that creates some awful, awful situations.
Yeah, every criminal in the city has a field day.
Yeah. So it's not a matter of do we want to stop. It's a matter of if we stop, the city goes. It's not stable enough to survive that kind of power vacuum right now.
So then what is it, weird for anybody to see Diggle in the costume?
That was pretty funny.
That was hilarious.
I mean...
It's not his first time donning the hood. So what? I thought it was... Yeah, he's done that before.
Yeah.
Okay, my memory just escaped me.
He was decoying for...
Ah, you're right. Yeah. It's different. different. It feels different because he was part of the plan with Oliver, and this time he's being Oliver. Obviously not knowing at that point that Oliver's no longer with us.
Yeah.
But it was still a little bit strange. And then obviously after that, he just dropped the hood and was like, you know what? I prefer my Glock. Let's throw the guns down, and I'm just going to wear a jacket.
Right.
I need to be able to move and shoot, and I can't do that in that outfit because it's right. made for a guy who's a little... You know, slimmer than me.
If he's going to do that, though, he should consider putting a mask of some type on, because if Felicity can watch the two of them the entire time on that security feed, I guarantee somebody else could watch that security feed and see his face.
Oh, we've already had someone hack Felicity's computer before. This is not an unknown occurrence.
Well, and since we know that nobody in the city can see past those little domino masks, why don't you put a little domino mask on?
He had a balaclava at one point.
Where's balaclava go?
I don't know.
Maybe he ran out of eyeshadow.
He doesn't like masks.
He wasn't wearing it with eyeshadow. It was a ski mask.
I know. I'm just saying. He ran out of green. You know what? I was still on the hood. I was. I never mind. Okay. Anyway, but okay. Here's the thing, though. In the beginning
Boy,
of the
have
show,
I missed
in
this.
The beginning of the show, okay. We knew that Oliver was potentially quote unquote dead. The team did not. Was anybody else a little bit sad that Diggle was the realist and after 3 days was already ready to prepare? I get that that's what you're supposed to do, but honestly, and I don't know if it's the girl in me, but I'm going to go back to the fact that Felicity was really trying to be hopeful and do everything and make sure she crossed all her T's and dotted all her I's to make sure she really put the effort to try to find him before she laid everything to rest.
Well, Roy grew up... Oh, sorry, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, well, Diggle's a... He's a soldier and he's an agent. Like, he's used to... friends leaving and not coming back.
True.
So, I mean, it's only right for him to be used to that situation and kind of, like, being the one to tell everyone that it's time to give up hope, figure out what we're going to do next.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, he's a soldier, and his ex-wife, now wife again, is in Argus.
His baby mama.
Roy grew up in the Glades, in the really, really bad side of town. Felicity is the only one who doesn't have any training or experience with actually losing someone. Everyone else has experienced loss and understands, okay, sometimes people come out and they don't come back. Felicity gets that on a conceptual level, but on an actual emotional level, she has never had to deal with that before.
Sure.
And that's why she's dealing with it so poorly. She thought she was prepared, and she is not.
Right.
But did Again, anybody, she spent the episode in Egypt.
Well, but did anybody else think it was weird that when people found out and they came to, nobody cried? They were upset, and I get it, Diggle's a soldier, and Roy's a man, and Laurel's, I don't know, her reaction was really weird. But nobody got that emotional.
But Felicity was very glassy-eyed.
Everyone grieves differently. And for now, I think Laurel is done crying and is ready to burn some people up. So she's already burning over her sister's death, and... let's add some more fuel to the fire and then go beat people with a pole. That sounds like a constructive use of everyone's time.
It's pretty cathartic.
Have you done this?
That is, you'd be shocked. It's a very, very soothing method of dealing with one's grief.
You put on a mask and a cat suit and go beat people with a pole. You do this.
Every so often.
Good to know.
It.
When I need to feel better.
We're getting all sorts of secrets out
totally.
Tonight.
So with Malcolm, though, okay, wow.
What the heck?
The more you know.
Okay.
Okay, so with Malcolm, because Malcolm obviously is the one who knows, right? I'm a little mad at Malcolm. You know, he's
you
like,
don't
he wants, you know, he's full of what he's full of. But how dare you, first of all, well, you break in twice, okay? You come in, drop the bomb, which, I mean, someone needed to, so... why not it be the person who, well, sent Oliver off and is very familiar with Roz and how Roz runs his stuff. But, oh, it just made me so mad that after all that, he went back to Thea and told Thea, we're in danger. We have to leave town and never come back. And all I kept thinking is, no, you just don't want to tell Thea that your brother's dead. And, oh, oops, it's, by the way, my fault because I want to get the warrant off of my head.
Well, see, Thea is in danger. That much is true. But she would not know why or how. And eventually there will be, yeah, by the way, I kind of orchestrated this. It's kind of my fault. Eventually that's going to have to come out because his gambit failed.
Right.
The entire scene, the only thing I could think about was how Malcolm stole her letter opener.
Oh, my God.
I love that.
Now, she doesn't know who it is. She throws it. Amazing. Would have killed him right through the face. He catches it because he's...
Malcolm Merlin.
Exactly.
He's the magician.
And then doesn't acknowledge it. He acknowledges that he thinks it's cute that she thought she could kill him, but very casually just slips it into his pocket. He's like, I'm keeping this.
This is my reward.
Yeah.
Well, this is really nice.
This is rude.
Do you want him to throw it back at her face?
I put it on the table.
I would have tossed it back. Here's your thing.
It's dangerous.
I mean...
You shouldn't play with this. Yeah. I'm just gonna...
When do we think Fee is going to find out? She will find out. But it's just, okay, here's the thing. Okay, Malcolm is obviously not going to tell her. Roy had the difficult conversation with her where he even said, I don't even know why I'm lying because it's not like it matters anymore. And they had that whole thing about, do we just tell Thea he was the arrow? Because it's done.
That, to me, was the most heartbreaking part of the episode, where she goes to him and says, I know you know the arrow. I don't know if you're close. But Oliver's been missing for days. I'm really worried about him. Can you ask the arrow to look for him? That's the part where I was just like, oh, this is a stab twist moment. Here, take my heart. I obviously don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty rough.
It is.
Honestly, that was the worst part of the episode for me. That was the leave me here to die part of the episode.
I mean, honestly, I thought someone was going to at least tell her that he died. I didn't necessarily expect her to find out that he was the arrow, but I would have thought someone was, you know what?
There's no way to tell her that he died without more questions to come.
I think
so. One would lead to the other.
I think not that I'm trying to get into predictions, but I definitely do think the if and the when it happens is going to be what starts things with her getting really involved. Because obviously we keep seeing her training for a reason. And I think that that will be what sets her off. But then again, just kidding. I'm going to take that back. You know why? Because we found out that obviously he's not dead. Which Stephen Amell did hint at that possibly he fell on a rock and something about magical herbs. And I thought that that was a teaser for maybe the future. I will say I was a little disappointed that it was this very episode.
Really quickly.
And very quickly that at the end of the episode, he woke up. I thought, you know, maybe he'll be in a coma for a little while. No.
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
Disappointing. It really is just kind of disappointing.
It was.
Especially after 5 weeks waiting. It's like, yeah, you're getting back now. Really?
Yeah.
On top of which, he got a sword through his chest and out his back. And they just put a bandage around him and he's good.
Hey, he had stitches or sutures or whatever. Okay. He was trying not to.
He had sutures and a bandage around him, and he's good.
Tatsu is magic, guys.
Yeah.
She can heal all things.
You know what, though? As
with her whistling sword.
And glow.
Wow. As soon as they showed somebody in a hood show up on the side of the mountain, I already knew it was Maseo. Like, I knew it was going to be him. And I thought it was cool that they, you know, in the flashbacks, they always interlace everything so that way it makes sense. And it was the very last moment of the flashback that we found out why Maseo felt like he was forever in debt to Oliver, which we should talk about as well, too. But here's the thing that I want to bring up.
Hmm.
He shows up at the door with his little stretcher. Hey, I found this. We need your help. Okay, that's not something you usually say to your wife. So maybe I missed something in the storyline or I'm not as educated as I should be. And if so, fans, I apologize. But it seems like they're not together anymore. Did anybody else pick that one up?
We don't know how it happened. And I honestly think it's a result of their son dying.
Well, thank you for spoiling.
It's a prediction. It's a prediction. How would I know? You have to understand, if they're there in the past and not there in the present, my immediate assumption is that they have shuffled off this mortal coil. It's one of those, this is an ex-parent.
Maybe the mother has custody and we just have not seen the little boy yet.
That could be it too, but my immediate assumption is that he is extremely dead.
He runs a frozen yogurt place in Wisconsin.
That's possible too. Don't worry about it.
And now you're in the river in Egypt.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, another interpretation of that could be that perhaps a stipulation of him joining the League of Assassins is that he has to sever all
ties.
Maybe.
So
he's hiding her away.
Could be.
That's actually a great...
Yes.
Well, no, I was going to say that's actually a great thought. I would still be like, oh my God, it's so good to see you. But, you know, whatever. It just seemed very friendly in a weird, cordial way.
Right.
I don't know. That's just me. My personal take on things. So, having talked about how everybody is dealing with Oliver's death, because obviously everybody is handling it differently, and I'd made mention about Laurel and how she just was there. She existed through finding out. And then there's that moment where she sees The Canaries cost you.
It's all right there. Why is it all right there?
Laid out on the table.
Right, still, 3 months later.
The only thing that would have made it better for me is if on his way out, Diggle said, oh, I was just about to throw those old things away.
Or if she walked in on Diggle wearing the wig. Oh, sorry, I was trying it on for a moment.
It's very cathartic. It's how I grieve.
But it's all lined up nicely, and none of it's dusty. And it's like, do we keep it there for a reason? Do we not have an evidence locker down here?
In case we don't feel sad enough at any given moment.
Right.
It's a CW.
It's like a shrine.
But you know what's interesting?
It's a shrine in the most inconvenient place possible.
It's in front of the computer.
It's in front of a bunch of computer monitors. Yeah. Don't you use those?
Well, here's the thing, though. Producers did tease that Laurel was going to be the canary sooner than we thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
However, I didn't think it was going to be, the costume's on the table. Oliver's dead. I have nothing to lose. I'm just going to put it on. And she doesn't just put it on. She does it with gusto. She shows up at the scene of whatever that was happening. Oh, the two criminals, Fisher and not Anton. He's gone. Fisher and whomever else. And she's got her little...
She does the canary cry.
Yeah, that's louder than loud. And with her staff. Anyway, God bless Laurel. I love her. I do. But I get where her heart is. I really do. But she's just being so... not cautious. What's the word?
Oh, it's a bad plan.
Yeah, there you go. That works too.
This is how she grieves. We've seen this. We have seen this pattern go down. It does not end well for her. But this is kind of how she does it.
We call it the Lex Michael.
Yep.
Here was my thing with it. Her wig was so pristine, but it should have had caked blood all over it.
That's true. She got stabbed down here.
Well, yeah, but when she fell, she was bleeding out the head.
Rubble and all sorts of stuff.
Maybe they washed it
and conditioned it and then put it on the table.
Do you know how hard it is to clean a wig?
I don't know.
It is not easy to clean a wig and then get it to be perfect after that. It takes time, and every cosplayer out there is like,
But if you were wearing a wig and you were as active as Sarah was in that wig, I would think you'd have spares.
Maybe.
True, it's possible.
But not on her.
No, that's on the shrine. That's not, obviously, the evidence table. You know what I mean.
The shrine.
The shrine, yeah.
Well, either way, a couple of rounds in the ring with Wildcat, and apparently Laurel thinks that she is a superhero and she's ready to take on the role.
Yeah, she trained real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Again, this is how she grieves. It doesn't mean that she's smart about it. It's just how she's doing things.
We have to let her go through it.
And she will. That's the thing, is I think that she will. Again, not trying to predict, but I don't necessarily think Oliver's going to be back at the beginning of the next episode. So I don't know if the team's going to come together. P.S.
Well, it's a three-parter, and it's called the Canary Arc. And we did have an article in Variety saying that she would be putting on the costume tonight. So for the next 3 weeks, I think we can expect some development from her, as well as seeing what the heck is going on with Brick.
Yeah. I want to go back to Felicity, sorry, for 2 seconds.
Let's do it.
Because
we have so many shippers who are like, but how do you feel?
Oh, thank you. Please, see, we threw out the hashtag, and I need to hear what you guys are thinking right now. How did I feel? Well, obviously, I don't know about you guys, but it's sad, it's devastating. At the same time, in the back of my mind, I know he's coming back. I don't know what the conversation will be when he comes back, but it was interesting with Ray, because that was her only outlet to talk to anybody about what's going on, because she was obviously not talking to Roy or Diggle, because they're handling it in a way that she's not really
able to.
Yeah. So instead of taking it out on him and telling him about his wife, and I thought, whoa, way over the line, homie, way over the line. And it was interesting to see him call it so quickly. Don't tell me what Hannah would want. I was like, whoa. You just got schooled hard. Oh, my goodness. But anyways, the point of me saying all that is it's funny how she ended up in the same situation we've referenced before. First with Oliver, now with Ray. It's so similar and close to home because now here's this guy trying to avenge stuff and this, that, and third. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know what? I'm not going to help you commit suicide. It's like, wow, she's just out there bold to the point. She said it, you know?
Well, I mean, it's like she said, like, she just suffered a death not too long ago, and then now there's the whole thing with Oliver. Everyone that she loves is dying, essentially.
Right.
And there's this guy who's like, I'm going to go out, Arrow can do it, and he's like, no, we can't.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, and she can't say anything.
No. Yeah.
Honey,
but
no.
My favorite part of it, it's not supposed to be funny by any means, but I giggled, I'm not going to lie. But when she had told Diggle and Roy, because Diggle kept on mentioning, well, you know, if we're going to do this, blah, 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 and she says, I'm done. And she's like, I'm done. Lights out. Drop the mic.
But she left them in the basement.
She walks away, and they're
dark.
Standing in the basement. And she just turned the lights out while they're standing there. It's like, wow.
Hello?
She ran that.
Man. Last call, everyone. Get out.
Right?
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Right? So, I know I've got a lot of news and gossip I want to talk about, but before we get into that, the last thing I want to make sure I talk about, and again, if I've missed anything, hashtag tweet at us. It's their job. If we don't talk about it, I'm just going to put it on them, and they don't care.
Well, my phone is misbehaving, so it's kind of on Tari right now, because what is reception in here?
Well...
Looks like
Ryan Wintellison
has a lot to say.
Maseo said that Tatsu brought Oliver back to life when Oliver woke up. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That did, in fact, happen.
Yes.
Oh, Ash. See, I got my phone on me. At Ash5608, I'm glad that Oliver's back, but where the hell is the Lazarus Pit?
Thank you.
You know what, though? Stephen Amell actually said, I was going to talk about that in News and Gossip, but whatever. Stephen Amell actually mentioned the fact that it will not be a part of him coming back, which we found out already. It has to do with more magical herbs.
So
I
are the magical
why.
Herbs how Ra's al Ghul looks like that despite being hundreds of years old?
No, but I mean, there's more than one type of magic, and clearly...
That's where the kid is. They fed it to Ra's, and that's how he stays.
Oh, my goodness.
Done. Consume your youth.
Evil laugh.
Producers of Arrow, copyright 2015, Lex Michael. Ra's al Ghul eats babies.
Cannibalism.
I like to imagine it's like that scene in Hocus Pocus at the very beginning where they're sucking out her youth.
Have you seen a child?
You know, she had also said that she thought they killed off, I always say her name wrong, Katana.
Katana, yep.
Yeah. No, I think she's a fighter, and I think, obviously, if she knows all this magic, maybe somebody else passed that down to her, and they're the person who saved her. I don't know.
I do like that Ryan agrees with me. Well, we haven't seen his son around. See? See? He is so dead.
I don't know.
He is 6 feet under. He is an ex-child. He has ceased to exist.
Dude!
He has shuffled off this mortal
coil. You just mentioned child, and it brought up the fact that Oliver has a child somewhere we have not talked about. He hasn't even come to fruition in our world yet.
It's Chekhov's child. It'll come back.
Ra's al Ghul's going to need him.
Him too.
And thus we devolve into chaos. I have missed this show, you guys.
Okay, I feel like I want to get into some news and gossip, but if there's anything I left out, you guys, please feel free to chime in now.
I can't really think of anything else. I'm just kind of waiting for this to come to a head. We've got two more episodes to see what goes on with Brick, and ostensibly two more episodes before Oliver gets back in action. Goodness knows how much time that will actually cover within the series, but we'll see. I do like that Merlin went all the way to the site, saw the sword, looked down, and went, well, I tried.
Yeah,
and
then whatever.
Like, oh, whatever. He's totally dead.
And he was also back in the Arrow Cave in the next scene.
He gave like 30% effort. One of those misshapen gold stars. I don't think you tried at all.
I don't want to spend any more time here than I have to.
Nah.
You know what was a big point that I totally just missed, and I'm glad I remembered before I missed, is the fact that Felicity let the Brick's entourage go.
Yes, yeah.
That big, huge fight scene. And yeah, okay, Diggle did have the same deal as was offered to Anton before Anton died. And shot the guy in the head, like we said, rappelled off, whatever. All these things are going on. Felicity's on camera. And it's funny because I saw her freeze, and I wasn't sure what was going on because I was just too busy into the fight. And that whole argument, like, she made the decision for them to let them go to save them.
Yep.
Again, she has no training. She doesn't know how to handle this kind of grief. And she was thinking of herself and her pain and not able to lose any other friends, as opposed to this is for the greater good, as much as I can't stand that phrase after Hot Fuzz. And she put herself first. It was an act of desperate selfishness.
Yep.
Okay,
can
Ryan,
I understand
I'll move
why?
Then.
Yes. Did you just get yelled at for having like four mugs?
I just did. Ryan with Alice.
Coffee.
Called you out.
You're just addicted to coffee. She drained
water.
All of them. I know it's water.
Anyway,
I'm giving you a hard time.
The reason. See, That's why eczema comes to war.
If you tell people you're drinking black coffee for your cough, it makes you look really tough.
Okay, I'm back to normal.
So what happens when Diggle and Team Arrow check the security footage and see Laurel taking the costume from Taylor Smith MU?
That's what happens. Like that.
If that wasn't the reason that they left it out, that's on them.
I'm sure they're just going to be like,
3 months
really?
Later.
Really?
Should've.
Seriously?
But you're the same size as your sister? Wow, that like never happens.
But wait, hold on. A, are you going to notice it's missing? B, if it is missing, you know who took it. C, we know it's a 3-episode arc, so obviously they're either going to let her or there's going to be a big fight about it.
Well, we know that she and Arsenal run into each other because we saw it in the preview, so I'm sure we're going to have a bit of a verbal knockdown drag-out about how are you this dumb.
Right. And how are you going to do it alone?
Will their domino masks fool each other?
Who are you?
Oh my god, Sarah's back to life! It was the Lazarus pit! It was the magic herbs! Did she eat a child?
Shut up.
Who's that? I'm telling you. It's children. She did the...
Where is Sarah? Oh, never mind.
She's dead.
Very dead.
No, say where's her body?
But,
okay, at this point, though, can you dig her up and put her in a Lazarus pit?
Were you expecting
back?
The hand to come out?
It's possible. It's possible. Anything is possible.
And thus we switch genres and get into, well, no, it's not Marvel. I was going to say Marvel Zombies. What's the DC equivalent? Blackest Night?
I'd watch that show.
Blackest Night.
So anyway.
Dang, I would too.
Right.
I would totally watch that TV program. Whole lot of dead people. Anyway.
And I want to get into news and gossip. All right, I have a few pictures. Before I get into the pictures, I'm going to talk my news and gossip.
Yes.
A, we were talking about the Atom. Producers have been talking about, if you guys haven't read already, possibly having an Atom spinoff.
Yep.
Is this too much, guys? Are we doing too much, or are we okay with that? I mean, The Flash, now Atom. Is that too much?
I don't see why not. I can see them trying to build their own little DC TV universe in much the same way that Marvel's built the MCU. It's a plan that seems to be working, and if you have the same crew of people running it all under one roof, why not?
Right.
They're doing Vixen. That's a thing.
That's a cool thing.
I'm
yeah.
so excited about that.
Okay, next thing I want to get into is Alicity, because it was such a big deal. One of the producers says that in episode 12 is when we finally get to hear her really speak up. It's one of, I think Guggenheim was saying, one of his favorite, him or one of them. Sorry, I just totally ruined news, didn't I? But saying that she's really, really strong and it's one of their favorite episodes. And then he tweeted, quote, "I don't want to be the woman you love." That can go many different directions. And the context, we don't know, because, yeah, she could say that. And the next line could be, "But I am so in love with you." Or it could be, "This scared me so much. I can't do this. I cannot love you and have you continue to do what you're doing." I don't know, but I'm hoping the producers, I get it, Oliver's supposed to eventually be with the Canary, but can we get some Alicity action? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And they can be friends afterwards. We'll figure
Did
out.
Anyone say that Oliver and Canary is endgame for this particular universe? Do we have creator confirmation on that?
But that's the comic.
Just because it happens in the comics doesn't mean it's going to happen
True.
Here.
Well, it has happened in just about every version of Green Arrow until this point.
So...
Fair point.
They're starting a new series, man. They're not going to have to follow the comics if they don't want to.
So my other news, if you guys also haven't read, that Charlotte Ross will be coming back, reprising her role as Mama Smoke, so
yes.
She'll be coming
nice.
Soon. That's also lots of fun. Can we go to our pictures, please, sir? So we have a few pictures. One, okay, I pulled up this picture only because if you guys are listening to the podcast, please watch us on YouTube as well. You can see my fantastic pictures. But it is a picture of Katie Cassidy as the Canary, which she actually looks really good in this picture. I pulled it because I didn't realize she was going to be on tonight, and it's not that much of news, but hey, she looks fabulous.
That's a great photo.
Yeah,
yes.
It really is.
Let's go into our next picture.
Like she's staring into my soul.
Okay,
do you have a soul?
This may seem Surprise. Irrelevant. It's a picture of John Legend and his wife, Christy Tien. Well, all over E! News and all those other websites. I never find gossip on the show, P.S., by the way, because nobody does anything. But this was rather interesting. Christy Tien and Katie Cassidy totally got into it hardcore on Twitter. And really, it's more Chrissy. I call it Chrissy. Basically, and the funny part about it, let's go to our next image, please. Stephen Amell, in his own way, started it. unintentionally. Basically, they were at a Seattle Seahawks game, and he was talking about why, you know, this particular gentleman. You know, let me read it for those who are listening on the podcast. Basically, at Erin Andrews, who is a... I want to say she's a...
Is she a reporter?
Yeah, she's a
sports reporter.
Thank you. Wow.
Should I ask, follow sports balls.
Yeah. Should ask Richard Sherman why he stayed on the field while he's a physical liability. So Katie decided to chime in. Seriously, why isn't she doing her job? Next picture, please. It turned into a whole slew of... Christine. Oh, that's her name. Sorry. Tien. Basically giving her the... definition of what a job is. Job, the work a person does regularly to make money. What at Erin Andrews has, who's the sports journalist. Second, okay, what you don't have, buy. B-I-T-C-H, what you don't have, this girl is on TV, what are you talking about? So Katie Cassie trying to be mature, she says, God bless. Chrissy Teigen says, didn't sneeze, but thank you.
Chris, ooh, sassy.
Yeah, Katie Cassie, no, but God should bless her. Katie Cassie continues, and he does. It's all positive. Chrissy Teigen turns around. Oh, so now we're being holy. Then Katie says, we always have been. Welcome to the party. Now, I have the rest of the conversation actually on here. And Chrissy, she goes, own it. I'll take you seriously when you don't simultaneously talk shit and preach gospel. Wow.
Why?
Yeah, and so she just kept throwing blows at Katie. And finally, Katie just said, you know what, just to be clear, I'm not talking smack. I'm not even trying to go there with you. It's surprising. Anyway. This girl just totally took everything out of context. I think it's funny that people get on social media and get so butthurt.
Ladies and gentlemen, how not to Twitter.
Amen.
If you're going to hash it out with someone, do it privately. Because then shows
you.
Like a screen cap it and broadcast it for the world to hear.
And you look crazy. You look immature and crazy. Who are you? And the girl that they were talking... And the thing is she wasn't even the one involved. She wasn't this Erin Andrews chick. She was just friends with her. Erin Andrews didn't even speak on the topic.
So you know Erin Andrews is checking your tweets like, what on God's green earth is going on? I am staying out of this. This is... Okay.
Right. Crazy. So that's my news and gossip.
Before we move on, I want to talk for a minute about Vixen.
Yes.
Do it.
This is a big announcement. CW has announced that they are doing an animated series for the superheroine Vixen, who is a woman who evidently grew up in Africa. Her family was killed by corrupt officials, by, you know, all of the general bad stuff that happens.
Bad stuff.
And so evidently she is... in America, she uses the totem that she inherited from her family to use the powers of animals, strength of a gorilla, speed of a cheetah, you know, all that fun stuff. And CW will be airing her program on CW Seed, which is evidently their online platform. It will be animated, but it will be in the same universe as Flash and Arrow. We have more crossover potential here. It will also be the very first ongoing animated series whose main character is a woman, let alone a black woman. Even Wonder Woman didn't get a series of her own, so
right.
This is huge. It should be out in the fall sometime. We don't have a date yet. So check your calendars and support it, guys.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know why I was thinking we were in prediction, so I'm waiting for somebody else to go.
What's going to happen?
No, I have news for once in my life. I'm saying something that I think is important.
And it totally threw me off.
Now,
I love that we have lights in the floor,
yes.
But it just screws me up so much.
Hold on. At Taylor Smith.
Super Michael Jackson.
Wait, at Taylor Smith. Did this this is part of her prediction now. Okay, so did this episode events kill off the Felicity Ray ship? It doesn't seem like she's in shape to date. No, I don't predict she is either. I don't think that she's even going there at all, especially the next person she dates is probably not going to be someone who's trying to fight off crime the way Oliver did, because she's not trying to get her heart broken like that.
Yeah. Again.
That's my thoughts on it.
It would be fascinating to watch and deeply unhealthy.
I can't see her going for romance in any capacity for the next good long while, because... I love you. I'm leaving now and never coming back.
Right.
Yeah, that'll mess a person up.
I think it'll be interesting to see the conversation that does happen between Felicity and Oliver when he does come back, because I think it will be a mixture of emotions. Either two things are going to happen. One, Oliver's going to come back and think, you know, when you have a near-death experience, you love somebody, you really love someone when you come back. So it's either going to turn into, I love you, this is how I feel. And likewise, from her, maybe some resistance, but some, oh my gosh, thank God, we can do something. Or it's going to turn into, like I mentioned before, now I really can't love you. This already hurt a lot. I don't think I could do this again and go through this again while being in love with you and in a relationship, so why don't we just stop it before it starts? I don't want that to happen. I'm just saying.
Not an unreasonable response.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Especially if they're going to use that to catapult her onto the Adam show, right? Am I right?
No! Do not do that. I would be right. So mad.
That would be
we do
great.
Know yeah. that we're going to have another crossover at some point,
yes.
and that Ray will wind up in the world of The Flash
yes.
working with Star Labs.
Mm-hmm.
So then kick him to Star Labs and don't bring him back.
No, so much sense.
I don't, not that I don't like him personally. It's not that I don't,
might be biased.
You know, it's not that I don't like him personally as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Personally,
it's not. It's not. It's not you. It's me.
He sinks your ship.
He does sink my ship hard, and that didn't sound right.
We don't have a rimshot sound effect, mm-mm. really.
Apparently, we don't.
Doo-doo.
So, what is? And anybody else have predictions for the future? Ra's al Ghul, Thea. Let's hear them.
I need a minute to ponder. You go.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, thank you. See?
Wow.
What will happen?
We have that, but not a rim shot?
I think that eventually Thea will find out that Malcolm has bamboozling her heart, and then she's going to just go ape wall.
Ape wall?
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
that.
Thanks.
You would hope so, because they're spending a lot of time focusing on how she's being trained to kill people very, very efficiently.
Right.
So you would hope that she's going to kill people very, very efficiently.
But do you yeah. think
but
she's
gonna
turn...
going to brainwash her again?
Well, I was assuming that he would tell her that the League of Assassins killed Oliver and they'd both go on a tirade to kill them all. That would be cool.
But oh, there's a difference between up, we need yeah. to get revenge and we are in danger. And he led with, we are in danger. We need to run away and never return. I will make all of the Lion King jokes tonight. I made several while we were watching it.
Well, judging by the music, I think we are being kicked off air right now. So let's go ahead and wrap this puppy up. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Please continue the conversation by tweeting at us. You can tweet me at KissMyPassport. Tweet them. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm at TheLexMichael.
You can find me at Tauri J. That's TauriJay.
And you can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at KiaJay. That's KiaXet. I'm also on Star Wars Rebels.
Okay, and I have one last plug. So I just started doing a new YouTube channel. You guys have to watch it. It's called Boys and Beauty. It's tons of fun. And eventually I will have one with Stephen Amell in there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that means you just have to look it up on YouTube, Boys and Beauty. I'm Allie Kona Bradford. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week. Mwah. Goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.